You are not here by accident. Do you believe that? That for every person alive, that God has a purpose and a plan for them. Now, that is true for you individually, and that is also true for us corporately. And today, well, on some level, today's sermon isn't that much of a sermon. Lower your expectations. As much as it is kind of a look under the hood for us corporately, for the one local church called Columbia Grove, this one tiny little expression of the kingdom of God right here in the Wenatchee Valley, of what God says about our purpose and then how we're trying to live that out together. Now, for many of you, this is going to be a reminder, but I hope it's a good one. Like, oh, yeah, that's right. That's why I'm here. For others, this might be one of those, like, I'm looking under the hood, and oh, that's why they do that way. Oh, that's why they do things that way. Oh, that's why they keep talking about that. To try to put some of the pieces together so, among other things, you can kind of discern, like, is this the right place for you? And, you know, how is God leading and calling you? Because, you see, every church everywhere really has, to some degree, the same mission. We find it in the scriptures in what's often called the Great Co-mission, like the mission that we do together. We read about this in Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 and 20. We'll put it up on the screen. Let's say these words out loud together. Say them with me. Let's put them up on the screen if you don't mind. Let's say them together. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. So there is a mission that Jesus gave all believers. Go and make disciples. Go and make disciples of all nations. So all different types of people, doesn't matter where they come from, doesn't matter what economic group they're part of, doesn't matter their skin color, they belong to me. Go find them and teach them to follow me as you follow me. You follow me, teach others to follow me as well. That is the great and timeless, the great commission of God. And we're not done yet. Who thinks we're almost there? We've almost completed the thing that Jesus told us to do. No, we got a long way to go. The great mission of God is something that none of us will complete in our lifetime. It won't be complete until Christ returns. But we each have a part to play in that. This is the big picture, and here's how we put it at Columbia Grove. Here's our way of phrasing the same kind of thing. Our mission as a church is this: we help people become more like Jesus, so that's discipleship, right? Through, and then we look at some of the primary processes of the church. Through worship, say with me, worship. Connection. And service. Service. So let's talk about that a little bit. So the big idea, we're helping people become more like Jesus, helping people learn how to follow Jesus, even as we learn how to follow Jesus. Lord, help me be a good follower, and Lord, help me to set a winsome example that others will want to follow you too, through worship, connection, and service. So in broad brushstrokes, we are passionate about three things. We want people to meet Jesus, that's worship, to connect with Christ. So we love to provide opportunities for people to make commitments to Jesus. That's part of worship. That's why we try to sing songs that help us to connect with the Lord. That's why we do prayer meetings. We're trying to connect with the Lord. And here's a few kind of personality traits for Columbia Grove as we worship. We are very intentionally intergenerational in our worship services. In other words, we could say we think it is awesome when grandparents and their grandchildren attend the same church. right? And so you'll notice a few things about, you know, how we structure and plan worship that are a result of that intergenerational passion. Like, we sing some songs that are older, some songs that are newer, and a bunch of songs that are in between, right? So because we assume that some people are older, some people are younger, and there's a bunch of people in between. And even the idea that we like to actually hear, like, song requests, like, and the primary question in there is what songs is God using to reach you? Because if this is a song that God has used in the past to touch your heart, or is using right now to touch your heart, well, you're part of us together. So let's do that. So a lot of our songs come out of songs that kind of flow up out of the body. Like, here are songs that God has been using to minister to me. And so we try to do those together, at least to the best of our ability. You'll notice that our worship team, as much as we are able, is very intergenerational. So folks that are pretty young are on the worship team. Folks that are, I'm going to say it, experienced, are also on the worship team. That also is reflected, and this is just one of those little nerd details that maybe you won't care about, but, or maybe you will, is back at the sound booth, part of the instructions for the team is to say, and our loud songs, we want our loud songs to be about 85 decibels. That's actually very, very strategic. So 85 decibels is about the volume that you have when you're standing next to a lawnmower or a leaf blower. And it's not because we love lawnmowers and leaf blowers. It's because, you know, because we want, in the loud songs, we want the music to be just loud enough that you have to kind of raise your voice a little bit. It's a little bit exciting. Hey, you finished mowing the lawn yet? Like, just a little bit louder, but is still a fair way below the threshold of hearing damage. So we're intentional about, and hold me to it, by the way, intentional about, we want the loud parts to be loud, but not so loud that you walk away with your ears ringing and going, I can't be here. So 85, I know that's a nerdy kind of thing, but we're very deliberate about that. Although I do want to point something out that you might find kind of fun. Because of the way our speakers are arranged, we use what's called a line array. The loudest row in the church is the back row. Okay. So if you're in the back, I'm just going to assume that you like it loud. If you want things a little bit quieter, come further forward. Isn't that interesting? Okay. All right. But 85, but, and the only reason I bring that one up is because this is a core value for us. We are an intergenerational church, a deliberately intergenerational church. We want grandparents and grandchildren to enjoy each other's music. And that in itself is something we believe is countercultural. Where else do you find that? Hopefully, you'll find some reflection of it right here. Because we want people to encounter Christ in music, among other things, respond to Jesus through messages that hopefully make sense, that are also hopefully thoroughly rooted in the scriptures. The question, where is it written, is deeply embedded in our DNA. Bible-centered, intentionally intergenerational. For us, that's what we mean by our value for worship. We want people to worship together because we believe that everybody needs to know Jesus. So that's part of our personality. One of the things that we do. The second really core value for us is the idea of connection. This the fancy church word for that is fellowship. or koinonia, if you're a Greek nerd. But it's the idea that we grow when we are in community with one another. Being a Christian is a little bit like being on a basketball team. It's absolutely fine to be in your backyard just shooting hoops, but that's not really, that's shooting hoops and that's cool, but that's not actually basketball. Basketball is a team sport. Growing in Christ is a team sport. You can be a Christian in isolation, you just can't be a healthy growing Christian in isolation. So connection groups are one of the, worship connect service, these are like three legs of a three-legged stool for us in terms of the mission of the local church. We want you to connect with other believers in some way, shape, or form. That's why we have a wide variety of connection groups. That's why we do the Thursday night, what we call Super Thursday night potlucks. So cool. Okay. Because we want you to be in environments where you can get to know other people, you can hear their stories, they can get to know you, you can open up the scriptures together, though admittedly not every connection group is going to be a Bible study, but I kind of hope they all lead to that, you know. But we form friendships that help to build our faith. One of the phrases that we've used to help us stay on target is we want every believer to have at least two friends that they could call at 2 o'clock in the morning and not have to apologize for it. So we want that level of friendship to be developed in the church. And what's really cool is I've seen this happen. That while it is possible for people to slip through the cracks here at Columbia Grove, like, because there's some folks that are, you know, they're kind of like, I'm just going to dip my toe in and then pull it out again. And dip my toe in and pull it out again. And there's a wide variety of very, sometimes very legitimate reasons why people are hesitant to actually, like, be known and get to know other people. But I'm telling you, folks, let me see your eyes. Like, when you are in a connection group of some sort, I can almost guarantee you that when there is a crisis in your life, someone's going to be there. I've seen it. I mean, food arrives, money arrives, car trouble, like stuff happens. And that's not because we've got some wonderful like corporate organization thing, you know, here's the help hotline. It's because we've got like micro communities within the church of people who really honestly care about each other. We want every Christian to have the kinds of friendships in their life that when stuff happens, and it does, and you need to call someone at 2 in the morning, you know who to call. And it's probably not going to be me. I would care if you call, that's fine. But that's what I mean by that. We want people to connect in honest and authentic Christian friendships. We also, you know, try to include some of those intergenerational aspects to those connection groups as well. Like when we plan for missions trips, we try to do those in intergenerational ways. As we serve together, which is the next area to talk about, we try to do that also in intergenerational ways. There are few things that are more valuable when you're a young parent than to have some relationships with older parents. And there's few things that are more encouraging when you're that older parent or you're the one who's, you know, recent empty nesters, just to, you know, hypothetically bring up a situation for us, than to actually be able to still invest in these young families and who are still in the throes of what it's like to count the number of hours of sleep they've gotten that week on one hand. To remember what it's like to love them, to come alongside them. Intergenerational connection. That's what we're about. Third thing is we're about service. And that's not just because we like a lot of volunteers to make the church go, though that's a nice thing. The real reason why we serve is because every person has gifts and talents. Every single person. And if you're going to flourish in life, you're going to be using your gifts in some way. Now, some of that serving will probably be inside and within the local church. A whole bunch of it won't be. Many of you are serving as teachers and coaches, and you're volunteering in libraries and in schools and in soccer teams. And you are invested in community volunteering. And God is using you in beautiful, powerful ways. We worship, we connect, we serve. And for most people, that's actually the growth pathway that they find themselves on. You meet Jesus. You give your heart to him and you grow in worship. Worship starts to become part of your lifestyle, both corporate worship, like showing up on a Sunday, but also individual, like reading your Bible at home or praying or putting on Christian music. Whatever it is that's going to align your heart with the heart of God on a regular basis. We worship and then we start to build intentionally Christian friendships. Usually that's, for most people, that's step two. You build some of those friendships, and then you discover with those friendships and with and out of your connection with Jesus, you discover where God wants you to serve. You discover why you're here on earth. Like, that's kind of a big deal. And as we do those things, we worship, we connect, we serve, the church corporately are reaching out so that we're bringing in the next generation to do and experience the very same thing. We worship, we connect, we serve. So if Columbia Grove is your home church, what's your next step? Do you need to get connected? Do you need to find a place of service somewhere? Chances are you're already serving, but growing in the awareness of it and having that be an aspect of your walk with Jesus is essential. And it's incredibly life-giving. Worship, connect, serve. So that's our core three. As a church, we do three things. We do worship services, we do connection groups, we do serve teams, period. Well, three and a half things. Worship groups, worship services, connection groups, serve teams, and then sometimes in our membership class, for example, we refer to it as the three and a half things we do. The half thing we do is then we look to develop leaders who can allow that process to continue. Because for some of you, God is calling you to positions of leadership within the church. Maybe that's within a committee that helps us to make better decisions together. Maybe that's with leading a connection group of some sort. Maybe you're a Sunday school teacher. Maybe you're a youth leader. But we want to develop those gifts. If you have some of those leadership gifts in your life, we want to develop them. We do three and a half things. We worship, we connect, we serve, and we help to develop leaders. So that's the big mission. But there's also a tone to that mission. There's a way we go about that mission. There's kind of an attitude about that. And this is probably the other thing that if you like Columbia Grove and Columbia Grove is your home church, this is probably the thing that you have been drawn to. Because as we accomplish our mission as a local church, we're not trying to outsmart anyone. We're not trying to outmarket anybody. We're not trying to outmaneuver. What we're trying to do is we're trying to follow the core strategy that Jesus gave his disciples as he sent them on mission. We see it in passages like John chapter 13, verses 34 and 35. This is another just central verse for us as a congregation. Let's say these words together. A new command I give you. Love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. It's a pretty good verse. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. We've got a motto that helps us to stay on target in terms of like the culture that we're trying to build. Does anybody know what our motto is? Our three-word motto. Well done, Ailette. Well done. You've picked up on that. We are not trying to be subtle about it in any way at all. But those words, love like Jesus, which is, you know, trying to be a shorthand version of what Jesus said in John chapter 13, and then again in 14, and then again in John 15, is that the way we go about our mission must be marked by love. The way forward for the church isn't for us to just seek more power. It's not for us to do better marketing. It's not for us to politically align ourselves in all the right ways. The power of the mission is found in our obedience to Jesus' command to love. Love is the power. We receive it from Christ, and then we give it away. Love like Jesus. It's a self-sacrificial love. It's at times a countercultural love. It is an unconditional love. We love like Jesus. And as we love like Jesus, we discover, lo and behold, that the promise that Jesus gave his disciples when he commanded them to love one another actually comes true. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples. If you what?
Love
one another. That's how we accomplish our mission. We love like Jesus. So we focus on grace. We focus on the Bible. We look at questions like, so how did Jesus treat people? And it enables us to hold high biblical standards in the context and community of grace. We don't need to lower what the Bible says. What we're looking to do is to live into the gracious love that Jesus modeled for us as we pursue the mission he gave us. Go and make disciples. And as you do, love them. Love them. As I have loved you. So, the big timeless mission, we help people become more like Jesus through worship, connection, and service. The tone of the mission, the motto of the mission, is we do it with love. And let's talk about where we're heading over the next few years, okay? What does it mean to love like Jesus for us right now? Now, what I'm saying came out of quite a number of like committee work and people. We got people together. We got smart people together and had them share what's on their heart. Here's where we're going over the next little bit. Is we are looking to leverage our second most valuable resource to connect people to our most valuable resource, to connect people to Jesus. Here's what I mean by that. Do you know what our most valuable resource is as a congregation? You. It's this congregation. It's the gifts and talents and abilities of this gathered body. Because it turns out you guys are pretty amazing. Because I've seen what you have done, and I see what you do when you are actually in community with one another. I've seen you go out of your way to help the person with the car need, with the home repair, with the financial distress, with the emotional need, in the time of crisis, with the parenting crisis, with the grandparenting crisis. God's Spirit lives in you and us. So what we're trying to do is leverage our second most valuable resource to connect people to our most valuable resource to connect people to Jesus. Here's what I believe our second most valuable resource is, beyond the community itself. It's the place that God has put us for right now. We are sitting in a pretty amazing facility. We're sitting on 11 acres of land in a part of the valley that is, well, it's been one of the last parts to really develop up, but if what we're hearing right now is true at all, that over the next 5 years, we're going to see a lot of action happening in northeast Wenatchee, in the area called Wenatchee Landing. I mean, there are hundreds and hundreds of homes that are going to be built around here, and businesses, the septic sewer system is coming out. The highway's getting bigger. Stuff is going to change. And in the midst of all this really cool development and activity, there's 11 acres. And if you drove in here today and you thought, you know, it kind of looks like here's a church in the middle of a park. That's because it is. And we love the parks of this valley. They're an incredible resource. Where's the nearest park to here? It's quite a ways away. So, one of the things we're focusing on over the next few years, you can call this the next five-year vision if you like. Maybe it'll take less time, but here's, as we look to leverage our second most valuable resource to connect people to our most valuable resource to connect people to Jesus, this is what that looks like. Is our five-year vision is we will be the anchor church of Northeast Wenatchee. We will be the anchor church. Can we put that up on the screen? The anchor church. This is what I mean by that, is that for people, especially those in a one-mile radius, though we recognize that many of you are from further out than a mile. If you're from 5 miles away, we still love you. But here's the thing, is if you live close to the church, and you can take it down from the screen now if you don't mind. If you live close to the church, when you think of a local, take the other part down. I love our team. They're so cool. Okay. If you live close to the church, we hope very, very much that when you think of church, you think of Columbia Grove. That's why we do some of the stuff you're hearing about. Like, that's why we do this yard sale. Is because people from all around the community get to know the church, and as they get to know the church, they come on the church grounds, guess who they meet?
You.
You, the congregation, the most valuable asset of the church. This place where God is at work, where his spirit is moving. That's why you'll be hearing about the 4th of July. Because we've got this amazing property for people to watch the fireworks over at Walla Walla Park, and they don't need to drive so far, and they don't need to be in a traffic jam for the next half hour. Our parking lot fills up every 4th of July. And as we do this right, guess who they'll meet? People who come to watch the fireworks on the 4th of July, guess who they'll meet? Yes! They'll meet you guys, and most of you are really nice. Most of you. And God can change people's lives as they meet real Christians. Because here's the thing, is that the people that our missional target isn't so much to reach people from other churches and say, hey, we're a better church, come over and join us. No, we're not. We're just another church. Trying to do our little thing, and hopefully every other church in the region and world is trying to do their little thing. We're not so much trying to reach people who come from other churches. We're trying to reach that skeptical neighbor of yours. Every time they hear about church, they kind of go, oh, church, a bunch of narrow-minded, blah, 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 blah. Or the family member of yours. And that's their response. They've been hurt or they're skeptical. We live in a post-Christian world, folks. Where most of the young people today have no clue about the Bible, about Bible stories, and in fact, because of the cultural environment, for most, they're not only ignorant of Jesus, and I mean that in the nicest way, it's not their fault, but whatever preconceived ideas they have about the church are largely negative. Christians. Roll your eyes. Ugh. Do you know what can change that attitude? Meeting one. meeting one. So, in the year to come, I am super excited about the playground. Super excited. Because just like you guys are knocking it out of the park with things like our yard sale, with things like the 4th of July, we can do things like this on a daily basis. Where's the nearest playground to here? It's a long way away. And you know, if we do the playground really well, and in the weeks to come, you're going to hear more about this. If you were on the playground design team, would you put your hand up? We've got a number of folks. See, we have got an amazing committee with folks with some experience and great ideas, and the plans are big, and we're not apologizing for that. Because the mission is bigger. And if we want to reach young families, we want their first impression of church to be something positive. I am so glad that church is here, that church with all those blah-de-blah, narrow-minded people that I don't really agree with. But they built a great playground. Or I love going there for the 4th of July. Or, just narrow-minded, but did you see what I got at the yard sale? Interactions like that start to shift the assumptions. It helps us to earn the right to be heard, because the message of Jesus must be heard. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
There is nothing more important than reaching the next generation for Christ. Nothing. And this is how we do it. By loving our neighborhood like Jesus. Loving our neighborhood like Jesus. So that's what we're going to try to do. How do we leverage our second most valuable asset, this location, to connect people to our most valuable asset, the congregation, to connect people to Jesus? How do we help that skeptical person that has got, they've got maybe some hurts in their church past or negative assumptions about Jesus? How do we help to turn that around? We give them some opportunity somewhere to meet an actual real life Christian who just loves them. So then when they start to hear, what's that shirt say? Or that hillside? Tell me about that. You get to start a conversation. A conversation that can change lives. So I finished up I was rehearsing the worship team last night. And as I pulled out of the parking lot and got ready to head home, it was the coolest thing. So I was driving down the little hill, and there in what we affectionately refer to as the lower field, which, if you remember, 8 years ago was just, it was dry, it was dusty, it was tumbleweeds, it was, like when we first bought the building, those of you who are back, some of you remember. It'd been neglected for a long time because there wasn't anybody here in the building. And now it looks like a park. Thanks to the love and dedication of our grounds team and a lot of irrigation water. And a little bit of fertilizer from those stupid geese all the time. But, you know, you put it all together and it turned into something pretty nice. And it looks like a park down there. Right? Doesn't look like a big patch of grass. It looks like a park down there. And so I was coming down the hill, and I looked over, and there were three teenagers sitting in the middle of the field. And one of them had been walking the dog. And I looked over, and I realized I knew the names of all three of those teens. And See, one of them had been they came to church because a friend who attended here invited their friend, and it turns out they live about five doors down on Sunset Highway, and so first the sister came, and then the brother came to youth group about 3 months ago, something like that, and about 2 weeks ago, I remember hearing the boy, he prayed out loud, which, for as far as I know, that was his first time ever. And we're having conversations about faith. Like, he's a super smart kid. Super, super smart kid. And they were just sitting there in the field, just hanging out. Because they knew that that was not just a random patch of grass in the community. It's their grass. And they had come in because of those little touch points, those little things, and hundreds. I mean, I know how hard our grounds team works. Actually, I don't know how hard our grounds team works. I assume I know how hard our grounds team works. And hundreds of hours of just gentle, loving. And some of you had to change the irrigation filter. I know that stinks. I know that job stinks, guys. But you're doing it. And I got to see this boy whose life is starting to change. Because we're doing that. Leveraging our second most valuable asset to connect people to our most valuable asset, the congregation, so that people can meet Jesus. And they started coming to the potluck on the Thursday night. And though I noticed they are not here in the room right now, because our teens, they sometimes wander around, but today's his first Sunday in church. That's why we do it. Amen. That's why we do it. That's what worship, connect, serve, love like Jesus, reach our neighborhood. That's what it looks like. That's what it looks like. Thank you for being part of that. Thank you for being part of that. Because people need to hear about Jesus. And so, because if we do this right, and we reach our neighborhood where that anchor, maybe we'll find a better way to phrase it. That's the best thing we can come up with so far. The anchor church. You know, when stuff happens for folks that are in that 1 mile, 2 mile radius, or maybe further out, and they go, oh man, my marriage, it's hurting. And, you know, maybe we need help. And they start, the thought of church for the first time ever pops into their brain. I want them to come here. The parent that goes, hey, you know, maybe the sports, and no sports strategy is not the best way to raise my kids. And they start thinking new thoughts. Oh, what else could we do? I want them to think about Columbia Grove. I think I need a church. Where would I find a church? Oh, there's that one. When the thing happens and somebody, you lose a loved one, and your life just starts to go into grief is horrible. It's hard. And it's those crisis points in life that often cause us to think new thoughts and to look to new places for answers. And they start to think about, well, you know, I have so many doubts about church. But there is that one. I want him to think of Columbia Grove. Because people need Jesus. So that's what we do. That's what we do. That's why we do it. That's what we're trying to do over the next few years. That's the big picture. Worship, connect, serve. The tone. Love like Jesus. The immediate multi-year focus. Okay, what's it mean to reach our neighborhood? Like right here, to invest in this immediate area. And so for some today, you might be like, yep, I'm in. Let's do it. So think about what that next step would be for you. For others, you might be like, I kind of want something different. That's okay. It really is. It really, really is okay. All that matters, and if you remember only one thing from this little sermon that's not a sermon thing, Jesus is worth following.
Amen.
So figure out where he's like, how he's calling you to follow, and what the posse of people you're going to follow him with might look like. Wherever that is, find it and plug in. No church is perfect. We all got flaws. We all got problems. But find it, plug in, and make it better. Because the mission of God, the corporate mission, the making disciples, the individual mission, Jesus wants to know you. And he wants to use your life. It is so incredibly valuable. It's the most important. I cannot think of something that's more important than following Jesus. So what does that mean for you? So I want us to close with a simple little prayer. Lord, I want to follow you. I want to follow you. Lord, we want to follow you. So what does it mean for you to follow Jesus? We read in the scriptures of Jesus goes on this walk and he calls and he's talking to all these different people. Here's Andrew and Peter and Levi, and he says, come follow me. And his spirit calls to each one of us. Hey, Andrew, come follow me. Hey, Daryl, come follow me. Hey, Heather, come follow me. Chris, come follow me. Walt, come on, come follow me. He's like, no, come on. Seriously, Walt, come on, let's go. Come follow me. Because he loves you. He's got a purpose and plan for your life. Come follow me. Let's pray together.